All right, so as everybody's seated and as we transition into the sermon for today, I want to ask you this. Does anyone here like comic books? Comic books or maybe even superheroes? Any superhero fans? I see some hands on there. And if you do, think about for a second which one or who is your favorite, okay? And why? Okay, think about that. Which one and who is your favorite and why? In fact, the kids in here, you should have those whiteboards. So kids, I want you to go ahead right now and I want you to draw one of your favorite comic book heroes or superheroes on them. And in a second, I'm going to ask you to show those to me. All right? And now whether you, okay, as they do that, whether you are more into DC or Marvel, we have to admit, okay, that the basic elements of a comic book are simple, right? There is the hero, isn't there? There is the hero, there is their quest, and then there is, dun-dun-dun, the villain, right? There's the villain and all the drama going on amongst all of that. And then at the end of each episode, there is this simple, right, but somewhat annoying or frustrating phrase. It's what? To be continued, right? Each episode ends usually with to be continued. Well, that just so happens to be this morning the name of this new sermon series that we begin today, okay? As we look at the events that take place in the biblical book of Joshua. And like most good comic books and its characters, this real story, church, of Joshua, it includes a backstory, okay? So here's a little bit of that backstory to the time of the book of Joshua and the time of Joshua. You see, it's around 1400 BC before Christ, so some 3,400 plus years ago, okay? And the Israelites, God's chosen people of the Old Testament, they have just finished wandering around in the desert for 40 years because of their disobedience to God following their escape from slavery in Egypt. And so as the story of Joshua begins, Moses, who had led them out of Egypt, right? And throughout this time of wandering, he has just died, okay, as we get into the book of Joshua. And Moses has named Joshua as Israel's new leader. So he, Joshua, is the one, okay, who will take the people on their quest to now take over the promised land, the land that God had promised them, okay, that they would receive and inhabit at some point. So the time we are in, well, it marks, if you will, it marks the time of a huge transition, okay? A huge transition for these people of God between being what? Between being landless and wandering slaves to being an established people with land. So for you or I, it might be a little bit like when we moved, you know, from living at home with a parent or parents to renting our first apartment. It might be a transition like that or moving into the dorm, right? Or it might be like from moving from all of that, from renting to owning your own home. It's a transition point. Or it could be like when you went or will go from wandering throughout the dating scene to finding the person that you will spend the rest of your life with. Or it could even be like transitioning from being enslaved to debtors and finding financial freedom. Or for you kids, you know what? It could be when you got or when you get and go for your first sleepover at a friend's, right? It's a transition time. Something new is happening. So needless to say, church, Joshua and his people, the Israelites, they are on the verge, okay? They are on the verge of doing something huge. That's what they're on the verge of. So that's a little bit of the context overall of this book. But what about this guy? What about this guy, Joshua? What about the hero of the story? Who is this guy exactly, right? Well, before we get into that, kids, I want to see the superhero. Did you draw any of those? Let me see him. Oh, wow. That one's really tall. Nice. Nice. Lots of... Oh, that one's good, too. All good. All good. Those are cool, right? So remember, think about this. Joshua is really a hero for us in the Bible. He's not perfect, only Christ was, but he's a hero for us. Well, the hero again that we look at today, Joshua, I got to tell you that he had a pretty incredible life, okay? He just did. He grew up in and amongst the slavery to the Egyptians that we talked about earlier. Those were some of his early life villains, if you will. But he also experienced something else. He experienced the miracle of salvation, you see, of freedom, saving from that slavery via things like the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea, right? And Joshua was then, he was then mentored by Moses for years. In fact, Joshua was the only one allowed to go up on the mountain with Moses as Moses received the 10 commandments. He was allowed to go up with him. But with that said, Joshua also saw the disobedience of the people of God, okay? In their forming of something called the golden calf, okay? An idol, a false god, due to their impatience and their lack of trust in God while he and Moses were up on that mountain. They created this thing, and God didn't like that because he said not to do things like that. Now, when Joshua was 40, he was also one of the spies who was sent into the promised land to scout it, okay, to check it out. And maybe you know this, but if you didn't, only he and one other guy out of these 12, the guy's name's Caleb, we're going to hear more about him in a upcoming sermon later in the series, but only he and Caleb came back with a good report. Only he and Caleb came back with a willingness to trust God, to take them into victory, to gain the promised land. So with all that said, up to this point where we find Joshua at and where we pick up today, I just got to say, wow, right? This dude, okay, this dude has lived a pretty incredible life. He's even lived what I would call a heroic life. And by the time Joshua takes over as Moses' successor, again, where we pick up today, he's getting on in years, okay? He's getting on in years, which is pretty powerful in and of itself when you think about it, because at a time when most people are thinking about retirement, right, and slowing down a little bit, we see him, Joshua, undertaking the astounding task of finally bringing his people, the Israelites, numbering, mind you, over a million, over a million people, maybe even as many as 2 or 3 million, okay? He's got this task, getting older in years, of moving these people into the promised land, which is something that even Moses hadn't accomplished. Moses, who was seen as like the man, right? Like the leader of leaders. So this is like the sidekick, if you will. It's like the sidekick Joshua being asked to do what the main hero couldn't. It's like Robin taking over for Batman. Or kids, think about this for a minute. Kids, imagine God, okay, imagine God asking you to do something that your parents couldn't even accomplish. I mean, how would you feel about that? Maybe a little nervous, right? Maybe a little overwhelmed, maybe even a little scared. In fact, I want you to draw right now on your whiteboard, wipe those off. I want you to draw what your face may look like. All right, kids, if you were asked to, I don't know, maybe if you were asked to provide for your family financially, for a whole year, including making all the meals, keeping up with the house. Draw what your face might look like, right? Maybe scared, maybe nervous, maybe even angry, right? Well, with that, I'll look at those in a minute, but with that, let's now look to the biblical account, the story, okay? To see what God says to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 1 to 4, as he is about to embark upon this great mission. It's Joshua 1, verse 1 to 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now on the screen is a picture of basically all of the area that God is promising them, okay? Now this whole series called again, To Be Continued, It is going to follow Joshua and these Israelites in their quest to move into all that God had promised them here. And so as you might imagine, the quest, okay, this quest was not for the faint of heart, okay? You see, there were people living there. There were people living there. There were fighting people living there. It wasn't just like wilderness, okay? Though even the wilderness posed its own challenges and dangers, right? As will prove to be, trying to move, again, over 1 million people in one direction with one purpose without extensive drama. And with all that said, the big idea which was necessary for Joshua then and which is necessary for us even today in whatever quest God has for you, well, it's seen in the next few verses. And it's seen over and over, okay? So let's see if you could see it. Let's read now verses 5 to 9. No one, the Lord tells Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law on your lips, meditate on it and day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Let's say it together, church. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The question is, will we be with him? And we're going to see that as this story continues, okay? But listen, listen. God's promises, okay, are so much bigger. God's promises are so much bigger than we are willing to take hold of. And that is often because we just don't follow God's directive to be strong and courageous. We allow fear, we allow lack of trust in God, lack of trust in his power to weaken us. I mean, even Joshua, who had already shown, right? He'd already shown great strength, great courage so many times in different situations and even in battles before. Even he needed to be told this, to be strong and courageous 3 times in just a short conversation with God. Can you maybe relate to that? With that, kids, now would be a good time to show me the faces that you drew. Hold them up. All right. Whoa, that one's got lots of hair. Nice. I see some anxious looks, some confused. What's up, right? Thank you for doing that. Now, everyone listen, okay? Everyone, not just kids. Listen, kids too. I understand, okay, that nobody in this room, nobody in this room is being asked to do what God was asking Joshua to do, okay? And it is not highly likely that anyone in this room is even being asked to anything similar, okay, to lead like over 1 million people into many battles, like he was asking Joshua to do. So none of us are likely in that boat, but listen to me, okay? Listen to me, hear me now. God is asking you to do something. He just is. He's asking you to do something that will take strength. He's asking you to do something that will take courage. And maybe it's something like having a tough conversation. That takes strength. That takes courage. Be strong and courageous. Or maybe it is to have integrity at work and to not go along with the questionable business practices there that sadly are considered normal there. Be strong and courageous. Or maybe it's to walk away from some friends that are leading you toward an ungodly direction. I say it again, let's be strong and courageous. Or maybe it is to invite that kid over this summer, kids, for a play date. That kid who everyone else at school seems to not like and pick on. Be strong and be courageous. Or maybe it is even to share your faith with someone by offering to pray with them or inviting them to church. Or maybe it's just being a really good friend to them by listening, right? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Or perhaps like Joshua and the Israelites, maybe it's taking steps to escape from some kind of captivity you're in. Something you've been in, whether that be, I don't know, striking out a bad, ungodly habit from your life. Or maybe it's moving into financial freedom by getting out of debt. Or maybe it's seeking professional counsel to be freed from something haunting you from your past. Be strong, church. Be strong and courageous. And maybe even check out some of our healing ministries here at Revive. RevivWesleyan.com by clicking on the healing tab at the top. Be strong and courageous. Check those out. Take a step. Because do you know that God is with you? He is with you, and that we can be strong and courageous with him by our side. Well, back to Joshua, okay? God must have known, right, that Joshua was intimidated. He must have known that Joshua was fearful of the task at hand. Just like, ding, 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 just like God knows that you and I, we are intimidated, we are fearful of whatever we are facing that he is calling us to that requires being strong and courageous. God knows. And let's be honest, okay, Joshua, he had good reason to be somewhat intimidated and fearful. I mean, again, leading the nation of Israel, no small feat, okay? And likewise, you probably have good reason to be intimidated and fearful of the things facing you. Because you know why? Change is hard, church. Change is hard. Change is scary. Taking a risk is hard. Taking a risk is scary. Taking those things are scary to us, but listen, it's not too hard. It's not too scary for our God. And let me be clear, okay? Let me clearly share this information with you. When God told Joshua, listen up, when God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, he wasn't saying, hey, Joshua, flex your muscles, right? Flex your muscles for everyone to see and to realize just how jacked you are. God wasn't saying that to him. God wasn't saying, hey, Joshua, flash your report card. Flash your college degree. Flash all your experience, all your credentials into everyone's face so they realize how smart and how capable you are. God wasn't saying that. And nor did God say, hey, Joshua, just pretend. Just pretend you're not scared. Just fake it till you make it. No. That's not what he said. That's not what God meant when he said to be strong. And we know that, okay? We know that because of the word used here for strong. The word used here for strong in the original Hebrew was hasak. Hasak. And you know what that means? It means to hold on to something tightly. To hold on to something tightly and to not let go. In fact, think of it this way, kids. When you're trying to be strong and courageous versus scared, is there something that you like to keep close by? When I was young, I had a flannel shirt, okay? Actually, it was kind of like a blankie, right? That kept me comforted in the face of fear. So for you, you know, it might be, I don't know who does this, close your eyes really tight, right? Some of us close our eyes really tight when we're scared. Or maybe you hold on to that stuffed animal, right? Or your mom or your dad's hand. In fact, I'd love you right now to write down what that thing is on your whiteboard, kids. What is that thing that you cling to when you're scared? What is it? Draw a picture of it. But going back to God's word, the Bible, according to him, that strength, do you know what it comes from? It comes from keeping his word close by. That's what he says. Let's relook at it. Look at what he told Joshua and tells us still today. Joshua 1:8. He said what? He said, keep this book of the law. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then God says you will be prosperous, right? You will be prosperous and successful by doing that. So God is clearly telling Joshua that being strong and courageous, it requires keeping God's word close by saying it with his lips and meditating on it, right? And this word used for meditate, well, you know what? It means to constantly mutter. It means to even growl, to growl as a lion does over his prey. So God told Joshua to feed on his word with the same hunger, mind you, as the lion feasting on its meal. Now, one way we can think about this is an everlasting gobstopper. Do you ever have a gobstopper? You know, it's that candy, right? Because just like God's word, the more you feast on a gobstopper, the more flavor comes out. Now, kids, on your way out, there's going to be some gobstoppers in a little baggie. Let mom, dad, grandma, whoever brought you, grab those and let them tell you when you can have them, okay? But God is telling Joshua, okay, and God is telling us to keep God's word close and to feast on it day and night like an everlasting gobstopper so that he, God, and Joshua gets all the flavor, which is what God wants for all. He wants that for all of us. So it's important. It's important to keep reading God's word. It's important. And even working to remember or memorize some of it. And then God also says that we must be careful in our reading. He said, we must be careful to do what? To do everything in it in order to succeed. So what that shows us, church, is being strong and courageous. It requires keeping God's word close by saying it, but that's only part of the story, and obeying it. Being strong and courageous requires keeping God's word close by saying it and obeying it. Now, with that said, I hope you're getting the idea this morning that reading God's word, you know what? It's more than just checking off a box on your spiritual checklist. Because it is necessary. It is necessary food for our soul and guidance for our lives. According to God, and I tend to believe him, okay? I do believe him. I don't tend to. But according to God, and I believe him, it is the key, okay? It is the key that unlocks the door to being prosperous and successful in the things that really, really, really matter. Which are the things that matter to him. In fact, Psalm 119, it speaks at length about God's word. And in verse 103, it says this. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. His word is sweeter than the ice cream or cake we're about to have. And then in verse 105 of Psalm 119, God's word says this. Your word is a lamp for my feet. A light on my path. God's word is so good. God's word is so helpful. And just as our bodies need food to survive, our souls need God's word. All of which, okay, to say and obey God's word, it takes courage. It takes courage. It is really what it means to be strong, okay? It is really what it means to be mature. It really makes a man, and a woman. Because saying and obeying God's word is not always easy. It's not always easy, but God knows. He knows the best way to live because he created us. And so Joshua knows this, and so we see that he doesn't waste much time in obeying God's word. For he tells the people that in 3 days, their quest to finally conquer the promised land is to begin. And they have no idea what specifically lies ahead. But they know that they must be strong and courageous by keeping God's word close, saying it, and again, obeying it, which I want us to just practice a little bit right now. So, will this be hard at times? Yes. But what? Be strong and courageous. Will there be obstacles? Yes. But what? Let's say it together. Be strong and courageous. Will there be villains? Yes. But be strong and courageous. So, will Joshua and the Israelites succeed? Well, to be continued. To be continued next week and throughout this series. Now, as the worship team comes up, let me encourage us with this. As we go throughout this series, I want you to be thinking about how you can keep God's word close, okay? So, first question to that is, do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Every one of you, from kids to adults and everyone in between. If not, I want to encourage you to check out our Bible sample table in the back. You'll see different ones that we use and we recommend, and make sure you get yourself one, okay? And some at those table, we always have for free at our Connection Center. Some you'll need to order, but I put on there where you can find them. And if you have one, next question is this. Do you read it? Do you read it? Like, really, do you? Or does it just collect dust? That happens for a lot of us, right? A great way to do so is by following along each of our sermon series' daily reading plans. You can check it out online, or you can grab a physical one at our Connection Center if you didn't get one on the way in. They were handing them out. And if you don't like to read, guess what? You can listen to the Bible. You can listen online. You can be driving and listen to it on your radio, through your phone, or whatever. And parents, do you read it to your kids? Do you? If not, or if you don't know how, we've got some great options in the back to do so. Bibles to read to your kids that they can understand. And do you remember any of it? Do you try to memorize some of it? Maybe not word for word, but just, you know, get it in here. Now, with that said, kids, you got a wristband today, I think, as a little gift, right? Wear it and refer to it. And then lastly, we have to ask ourselves today, do we obey it? Do we obey God's word? We have to wrestle with that with him. Do we do it even when it's hard? Or, in other words, does it make you strong and courageous? Does reading his word do that? It's supposed to. It's supposed to, as you see who God is and what he thinks of you and what he's done for you. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, that you've given us. I thank you for everyone here this morning. And Lord, we just worship you. We thank you for what you've done, what you are doing, and what you will do. You are the rock on which we stand, and we want to get our foundation firmer by being in your word. So, Lord, it's not just a checklist. It's a way to be in relationship with you, and it's the key. It's a key to unlock the door to how to live life. Our salvation is through Christ. God's word directs us in that journey as we grow to be more like him. So, Lord, help us to obey you in that, of keeping the word close, meditating on it day and night, and obeying it, saying it and obeying it. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can stand to your feet and worship through song.